Good morning. Again, good morning again. Today is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So in light of that, we're going to be doing things just a little bit different. If you look in your bulletins, you're going to see that the order of things is different. And there's a couple things thrown in there that is not normally in there. And I know we've all heard of the persecuted church. If you look out in the foyer there, you'll see the big map on the wall that shows the 1040 window and different places that it's really hard to be a Christian, that they're extremely persecuted for being a Christian. So in light of that, we're going to spend this morning lifting them up. There's churches all around the United States and all around the world that is taking today to remember the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the church, but I thought, let's not just pray for the persecuted church, because if you look at the world today, it is becoming harder and harder to serve Jesus. With government law, social media, extremist groups, and now this pandemic thing, it's becoming harder. And the church supports 9 different mission groups. And we need to lift them up in prayer, too. We have these people are giving up their family lives. They're giving up their time not only to go overseas, like in Brazil and Coprahar, but here in the United States. And we need to lift them up. So we're going to take this today and we're going to pray for them as a church. And we have people that I've asked that are going to pray as well. So we're going to do things a little different. And I would challenge you today, challenge myself today. Let's not just spend this morning in prayer for the persecuted church and for the different organizations that we support. But let's be in constant prayer for them. And I've set up a table out there that I would encourage you when you leave today to stop and look at. Because there's things on that table, say Lake James, for instance. If Lake James is something that God is plucking your heart with or something that you have a deep passion for, please stop out there. There's information about Lake James. There's a prayer card that I would like you to take and put on your refrigerator so that you can, as you get, get up for that midnight snack, you see that Lake James card. And you can remember to pray. Also, there's a bracelet out there. They're all different colors so that you can have them and you can look and say, I have this on my keychain and I'm praying for this parking space. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that parking space. Oh, wait, this is on my keychain. Let me stop a minute and pray for Lake James. So there's stuff out there that I would like you to stop and look at. And if God is touching your heart to pray for a specific one of those missions or maybe more than one, please take some of that information out and pray for them. We also have out there, there's a card out there that looks like this that has a little bookmark that gives you ways that you can pray not only for the persecuted church, but pray for these mission people. So we're going to spend this morning praying for the church, praying for men and women that are giving their time to serve Christ this morning. So let's open with prayer. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are. We thank you that we can take this day, this moment, and that we can look to you, that we can stand in the gap for the persecuted church, that we can stand in the gap for men and women who serve in this country, to serve our youth, to serve people that are in prison, to serve children. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory for these men and women who've given it all up for you, to show people that you are the most important thing. Lord, we ask you to bless their families, Lord. Bless their missions. Lord, we give you praise. We ask you to bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody out there this morning. I'm running without a monitor this morning, so I'm going to have to intently listen to my wife. And I'm not used to that, so... So we'll do the best we can. We're going to open the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, left for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water in the blood from thy riven side which flow. Sin, a double tear, cleanse me. Thank you this morning that we can be in your house and sing your praises and hear your spoken word, Lord. We ask a special blessing on this service, for it's a special service this morning that you hear our prayers, Lord, and that we can send up many a prayer, Lord, for our missions and for those who are persecuted, who are trying to serve Christ in a lost world. We ask a blessing on the service this morning and a blessing on those who couldn't be here this morning. Praise you, and we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Summer's gone, fall's half over, and winter will soon be upon us. I like to garden, and you know you can't wait to get the first taste of them first vegetables, your tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, cantaloupes. And while we all like them, you know, after a while, they start to lose some of their taste. In the growing season, they start to lose some of their taste. They lose some of their quality and texture. And I attribute that just from assumptions that it's a lack of sunlight. The days are getting shorter and there's less physical light. In our spiritual lives, we have been given the light of the world. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live as basic Christians in the light? Or are we going to seek more of Christ's light? Do we drift into fall from summer time light and then end up in winter where we struggle to survive? Let us always keep in our spiritual lives seeking Christ's light. In the natural world, summer, fall, and winter are always going to happen. But in our spirits, let us always be seeking the summer light of Christ's love. May we be filled with His Spirit. May our quality increase. And that we live as children of the light. Heavenly Father, You came into a very dark world. You are light that shine in darkness. And it has revealed our sin. You made atonement for our sin on that cross so that we can have Your light, we can have Your forgiveness. We thank You for the finished work of the cross. May we always shine in the light of Your love.
My name is Jeanette. I am a Christian and I love Jesus with all my heart. I love my children and I love the people of my country, the Central African Republic. There are both Christians and Muslims in my country, and we lived as neighbors as I worked to reach them for Christ. But my hope for a peaceful life didn't last. Our village was ambushed by the Islamist attackers. Guns started firing, and we started running as fast as we could into the bush. All the Christians in my village were killed or driven into hiding. I fled with my children. We didn't even have time to put on our shoes or clothes.
Attacks like these have been targeting Christians in the Central African Republic for 8 years and continue today. Churches and missionary stations that have been built over decades have been destroyed, along with Christians' homes that have been burnt to the ground. In one area, the only structures that remained were the metal roofs of two churches. Thousands of Christians have spent years in makeshift temporary shelters, far from their homes, as the violence and instability continues. Delivering desperately needed help to displaced Christians often means overcoming impassable roads, using cargo planes, trucks, motorcycles, bicycles, and even canoes. With God's help, supplies are making it to Christians scattered throughout various camps. Today, Jeanette and more than 30,000 Christians in the Central African Republic have been driven from their homes, all because of their faithfulness in maintaining a witness for Christ in majority Muslim areas in the face of severe Islamist violence. These courageous believers, our Christian brothers and sisters in the Central African Republic, have shown God's love and forgiveness to their persecutors. They continue to faithfully follow the Lord and trust Him to meet their needs.
What a privilege it is that we can carry things to God in prayer. Amen? Amen. And that's why we come here this morning. That's what our lives are supposed to be about, is about prayer. But I have a question. Does prayer really matter? Is it really as essential as we claim it to be? And if it matters, then what should we pray, or why should we pray? What is prayer? Well, if we look at prayer simply, because a lot of people get with these big ideas, they have books of prayer that people have written, and we can recite someone else's words. We have words that we pray. Some people can pray for hours upon hours. Some people have no idea what to pray, and they pray one sentence, and it's like, did I really pray? Prayer is simply put this way, it's talking to God. Just as I'm talking to you, we talk to God. Jesus, if you look at his prayer life, Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. And we only have really one recorded prayer that he ever prayed. And it's kind of a long prayer, but if you look at his daily life, did he go in these long, big worded prayers, or did he simply just say, Dad, here's what's going on today. I'm getting ready to face this morning, and as you know, we're walking to the cross, and today, it's a hard day today, because yesterday was, oh my goodness, Peter and John, they got into it about something. You can hear Jesus having this conversation with God in prayer. Prayer is simply talking. Prayer is remembering. God, I need you to remember these people. We have, and I saw Greg here, we have people here that we have prayer requests for. Remember these people in prayer. Remember Annette's mom who fell and she hit her eye and She needs prayers for healing. Pray for Greg's mom who has been diagnosed with the COVID. Remembrance. Prayer is remembering. Prayer is also encouraging. I want you to remember these things in prayer. You see, if we look in Scripture, we find these three prayers there. The first prayer that we come to is a prayer of getting right with God. And it's a very familiar prayer. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version because that's the one that a lot of us memorize. And if you try to read it from another version, you're going to end up going back to the King James Version. So as I read this, I would encourage you to read it with me. And you don't need your Bibles because you know it. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's a getting right relationship back with God. God, you are holy. God, you are the one. You are the one that I need. You are the one that provides everything. You are the one that provides my daily bread. God, I have been in this week's not been a week where I've been focused on you. I've done a lot of things my own way. Forgive my debts as I forgive those who trespass against me, as I forgive my debtors. Lord, there's things that are going to happen today, and I need you because you are one and you are only. Lead me not into temptation. There's things at work today that tomorrow that I'm going to face, and I really don't have nice words for my coworker. Lead me not into temptation that my mouth will get ahead of me. Lead me in a way that you will be glorified. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the only way. You have the power. You have the glory. Forever. Amen. So our first prayer is a prayer of getting right with God, showing God that He is the one, He is the only. If you look through the book of Psalms, it's filled with prayers just like that. David praising God and then admitting what he's done, confessing his sins, confessing God, needing God's help. The second prayer that we've looked at here is a remembrance prayer. Hebrews 13:3 is whoever wrote it, we assume Paul says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you are in the body. It's a prayer of remembrance. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for those that are sweating. How many of you know what it's like to have the flu? How many wives know that when your husbands have the flu, they are worse than the 2-year-old child? I'll raise my hand because I'm worse than a 2-year-old child, right? We know what it's like. Imagine what it's like for these people that are in other countries. In Brazil, for instance, you get malaria. It's hard to keep moving when you have the flu. These people that get malaria, they have to keep going. Remember them as though you were with them. As though you have or you're sick, remember what that was like and pray for them. As we know, the gentleman in Brazil, I haven't heard an update, but the one gentleman, I believe, who drove the boat, he had a mask. The COVID happened, and they keep pushing back and back and back and back, and he hasn't been able to take care of this. What is this? Is it growing? Is it worse? We know what it's like to be worried about our family members here. Remember those there. Be in remembrance as though we were with them, because we are the body. The last prayer, and the one we're going to spend just a little more time on, is a prayer of encouragement. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5, Paul writes these words. Finally, brothers, who's he speaking to? Us. Finally, brothers, pray for us. There it is. It should be all we need. Pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you. And that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we have commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Do you see? It's getting right with God. Pray for us that the word will go out as it went out among you. We pray for you that God will keep you from harm, from temptation. It's a prayer of remembrance. Remember us. Pray for us as we're walking. And we'll pray for you. You see, this prayer goes back to the book of Acts. And you can, as we're walking through Acts, we'll get here. Paul was in the middle of turmoil. They were being kicked out. Friends that they had made that were hiding them, protecting them, were being drug out in the streets. So Paul is writing, pray for us. But don't pray that we'll survive. Don't pray that the enemy will be taken down. Pray that the word goes out speedily, because that's why we're here. That's why the missions that we have out here on this table are there, to pray that the word goes out speedily. Pray that the word presented brings honor to God, that the men and women that stand every day in these places will be a representation of God. Pray that the word is accepted as it is accepted, that it honors God. This is what we are to pray for. And notice what Paul does. And this should be the biggest reason that we pray. They're praying for us. The people that are hiding in basements, wondering what the noise is. Is this our last prayer meeting? They're praying for us. The people in Brazil are praying for us. The women's group that meets in Shrine are praying for the church, praying for us. We know that the Lord is faithful, he says. They know that. They pray. They know that God will establish you. That God will guard you and keep you. And we have confidence in Christ that you are praying for us. How many of you ever run a marathon? I got suckered into a marathon. Put it that way. I'm not an athlete. I got suckered into a marathon. And you know what? Everybody thought I was crazy for doing it because I'm not an athlete. Jonathan and I were joking the other day. He had a nice bag of veggie chips and stuff on his desk. You look on my desk, I have the Pop-Tarts. Just like, Jonathan, come on now. You're making me look bad. I'm not an athlete, but I ran this marathon, and you know what got me to the end of that marathon? Wasn't my athletic ability, that's for sure. It was I knew people were praying. I knew people were praying, he's going to kill himself out there. Please get him to the finish line. And the thing is, that prayer manifested itself in the physical, because when I hit that halfway mark, I was done at the halfway point. And I turned that halfway point going, oh Lord, what did I get into? I just want to die. Like the guy in the movie, why is this a sport? Please, somebody kill me now. And as I look, there comes this beautiful girl in this white vest holding this sign. And she says, you're almost there. Come on, honey. We got this. You see, Morgan was right there on that halfway point, and she said, let's go. She didn't, it wasn't her marathon to race. But she was there at the halfway point, and she walked the rest of it with me. This is where you got to go. Keep going. You're almost there. Keep going. That's what prayer is. Keep going. So we have to come alongside. So again, I ask the question, does prayer matter? Absolutely. It is the encouragement someone else needs. It's the strength that you need. We are the body. We take care of our husbands, our wives, and our children. In Christ, we take care of each other through prayer. We're going to take this moment now, and the gentleman that I asked to help me, if you would come up here, and we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to do just that. You see, I said at the beginning of this that we are going to pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the missions that we support. And these gentlemen have all agreed that each one has a prayer for a specific group. And they're going to come up here. If you would come up on stage here and just sort of line up behind me, and I'll close and pray for the church. And we're going to take this microphone, and they're going to each pray for their specific groups. And then I will close praying for the church. And I would encourage you to agree in prayer with them. If you would come on up, Mitch.
We are truly, truly thankful that we have a facility this close to us, Lake James Christian Assembly. We're thankful that men, almost 100 years ago, had the foresight and took the risk to acquire the property and how it has expanded over the years. A great facility, but that facility is not it. It's how it's ran. And we pray, dear Lord, for the staff. We've prayed for what the directors have done over the years, what the past managers like John Love and now Matt is moving forward. We are so lucky to have a camp of such caliber. Because its mission is to touch the youth, to give them a place to go, enjoy themselves, but to look to Christ.
Dear Lord, I want to lift up the men's ministry at the Christian Campus House at Trine. God, I've seen firsthand the work that CCH has done and is doing in the lives of men. That ministry richly blessed me, and I know I wouldn't be the man of God that I am today without the impact that it had on my life. Lord, I want to pray for the students in that ministry, the men right now, that through this difficult time of the pandemic, that their testimonies wouldn't be hindered, but that they would be, that they would instead find new avenues to show your great love to others. God, I pray that that you would just help them to be bold, to share the love of Christ with their classmates, their friends, their families, their teammates. God, I pray for the hearts of those people that they would be receptive to your love and their testimony, and just, God, the truth presented in your word. God, I thank you for these men that are being raised up to be leaders of the church. God, I pray that you would lead the students there in your ways. Remind them that they are a child of God, that they serve a risen Savior first, and that they are a student second. Help them to make the most of this unique time in their lives, and remind them that every day they are on mission on campus, serving those around them. Father, I want to pray for Travis and for Jordan as they lead those men, the board of directors, and the student leaders within that ministry. God, I pray that you would give them all wisdom as they earnestly seek your will to be done on Trine's campus. God, I thank you for your faithfulness and for so richly blessing the men's ministry of CCH at Trine.
Heavenly Father, we want to lift up the nation of Brazil. We know our congregation supports the Hobners, who have left a long time ago to support the work that you have going on there. We know there's others that preach the gospel also. And we know that they have been suffering a lot from this pandemic, things being shut down, a boat sits at a dock, and the gospel not going forth as it once was. We pray that relief can be given to this nation. We pray that this nation seeks after you. We know they have a government that is far more friendly to mission work than what was once before. Let your mission work go forth. Let this boat run again to reach those in the interior, those who are hard to reach because there's no roads, no airstrips, just boat traffic and walking, and the dangers that go with such things. We pray that your spirit will go forth and that there will be a renewed revival in this country, that and it should be with the Hobners as they continue their work and what they've done, and that new leadership will be appointed that will follow their example and do just as well as what they have done. In Jesus' name.
Our Heavenly Father, I want to lift up the countries that fall into this 1040 window, this part of the world where majority of Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists live, where Christianity is actually a minority. Lord, that's so hard for us in this country to understand, because we have freedom to worship. It's all, you know, it's just the opposite here. If someone tries to stop us from worshiping, it's they're at fault. They're wrong. But in these countries, it's not that way. How they are able to continue, hard for me to understand. They're so dedicated to you, Lord. And so I want to lift them up. I want you to watch over them, protect them, allow them to continue to worship you as you would want us to. And Father, it's because of that, I guess the prayer that I want to pray is the prayer that I think that they're praying. That the governments that they live in would be receptive to Christianity, that would use their power not to persecute, but to protect them. I pray, Father, for the people that live in these countries, not just the Christians, because I know the Christians are praying for the people that aren't Christians. Pray that you would open their eyes and ears to your word, that they would receive it. Pray especially, Father, for the women that are in these countries. So many of them are looked down upon. They're not seen as valuable. Compared to men. And I just pray that that would change, Father, that they would see the value in their women, that they would accept them and not persecute them, not use them. I pray, Father, for the children. I pray that the families there would be able to have the resources to support life, to feed their children, to house them, to clothe them. And that, Father, I pray that the evil of human trafficking, which seems to be so prevalent in this area, that would cease. I know this is what the Christians in the 1040 countries pray for. I just ask that you would hear their prayer. Lift them up. Help them to continue to pray. Help us to try to find ways to help them, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, dear Lord, for the children's home and for the insight of Lee Bracey and the board there, dear Lord, years back, that put that home there for people here in the U.S., dear Lord, to have families with young folks that get involved in worldly things that, dear Lord, that tear their lives apart. And that comes from experience of one of our family members that got into a bad situation in school, dear Lord, with friends. And I really appreciate what they did at the children's home for her life, dear Lord. They took her in. They helped her get over that. She was headed in the wrong way, dear Lord. Her life was turned into drugs and different things. And the children's home blessed her life, dear Lord. And now she's a mother of three little ones and a good mother, dear Lord. And we never know how that children's home touches so many people. And we realize, dear Lord, this pandemic has made it tough on their funds coming in. They can't have their auction. They couldn't have their golf outing, dear Lord. But be with that board of directors and be with the people that helped with that mission work, because it's such a vital mission, dear Lord, to families in our country here and to young folks. It sets the stage for their future life and their future families. We pray that the funds will come in to support that mission and be with those families that have been blessed with it, and for those many more to come. And I realize, dear Lord, they had to go through issues with our government and everything to keep that home going strong. And you prevail in all things, dear Lord. We see your work there so great. And we ask that you continue to be with that children's home for many years to come. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we are here praying for our missions, and one of the very important parts of our mission is, of course, a trained university. And I've been asked to pray for the ladies at Trine. Sometimes we don't give them near as much credit as we should, because we know that they are very instrumental in everything that goes on there. We know that they are inspiration to other young ladies, and we just want to continue to pray for them, for the support that we can give. But we want to pray for them that they would just be strong, they would be bold, that they would reach out to those there at the university, because we're so blessed that we have such a great organization there that is working hard there at the university, and we're able to see some of that through some of our dear family here at Columbia that work there, and that they are experiencing firsthand, what is the fruits of their work. And we just want to continue to pray for them, encourage them, be with them, and it's such a blessing for us that we're able to support someone as close as they are, because they're part of us. And just like the camp is part of us, Trine is also part of our mission giving, but more than that is just our prayers, and we want to send our encouragements anytime we have a chance. So be with us as we continue our prayer, and we just want to keep the ladies at Trine in our prayers each day. Just keep them encouraged. I'm sure there's a lot of things going on that we don't hear about and don't see, but these ladies do. And we just want to encourage them. So we're asking all this in your name.
I wanted to offer a prayer in behalf of Lee Ladd and the ministry that's going on at Marion County Detentional Facility for the young ladies there. I pray that you'll be with Brother Ladd and assist him in his mission to spread the gospel to the young women that are in this facility. This may be the first opportunity that they've had to be exposed to the gospel of Christ. And I know that there's been many success stories, and pray that there'll be continued to be many more young women whose lives have been turned around by him preaching and spreading the gospel to those young women. And thankful to the women here who have supported that mission with making clowns to give to the ladies there as gifts, and be with all that are involved in that mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in prayer for two ladies that 74 years ago went to India, not knowing exactly what God had in plan for them, but within a matter of no time, they had started an orphanage and a school. And Lord, that has grown throughout the years. And even though it is in the 1040 window, they have been able to grow and to prosper. And those that have went through the school return, they consider it family. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to harbor or give them safe harbor. They are in an area where there are Hindu and Muslims, and there are actually Hindu and Muslim students there. So as they're teaching Christ, Lord, we ask that this reaches out into these other areas and is able to touch other lives. Lord, we ask that you continue to, for them to grow. We ask that the staff over there is to be safe and strong, and always look to you for answers. Lord, we ask that you just continue our prayers heading that way, and our support that they may continue to grow and support these young ones as they grow up and learn about you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I come to you this morning in prayer for Great Lakes Christian Academy. We know, Lord, how important it is to have a place to train young men and women up to become preachers and teachers and evangelists and missionaries. We know there's a great shortage right now, Lord, that we need many young people to fill these roles, and we ask that that they will teach many that come forward and teach them about how to go out and further your kingdom, Lord. We ask a prayer for all those who run the college, Lord, the board of directors and the professors and the kitchen staff, the janitors, people that upkeep the apartments. It's on and on and on, Lord. There's so many people that come together to make this thing work, Lord. We also ask a special blessing on all those who support the college, that you will bless them so they can, the funds will be there that they need, Lord, to keep the doors open and to train these men and women up. Again, Lord, we thank you also. I remember when we were in need, when we had no preacher, that I believe his name was George, came and preached a sermon, and he seen the need, and he came back and preached a whole series, Lord, a sermon series, and we were blessed because of that. It's amazing, Lord, to see that the things that we give our heart to also come back to us, Lord. You are good, and you do bless us, Lord, in every way. Lord, again, we thank you for this college and all the students, Lord, be with them, and Lord, and protect them and keep Satan from them. Train them up to be great, great Christians that can go out and into a world that needs Jesus, Lord. As Earl Hobner said, when Jesus shows up, things just get better. And we need Jesus to show up at Great Lakes. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Lord, what an honor it is to come to you in prayer, that we can come to you as a family. Lord, we know you've heard each of these prayers, Lord, and we just ask you to bless them. Bless each individual, Lord. Bless each mission. Lord, we lift up family members now, Lord. We ask you to be with Annette's mother, Lord, as she's fallen, Lord. We ask you to heal her. Lord, help them as they make family decisions, Lord. Just strengthen that unity, Lord, and just bless them. We ask you to be with Greg's mom, Lord, as she has been diagnosed with the COVID, Lord. Lord, put people around her, Lord, that can love on her, that can take care of her, that can help her to understand what's going on, and protect all those that are in that facility, Lord. Lord, we join you in the praise with Diane, Lord, of the person she put on, Lord, that who got to go home, Lord. Lord, continue to be with that situation and to heal them. Lord, as we walk with you through the rest of this week, Lord, let us bring honor to you. Let us not just leave these individuals, these missions here this morning, but let us walk together as a body, Lord, as your word says, as though we are there. And let us be praying for them, lifting them up to you, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you answer. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you all for joining us this morning to pray for the persecuted church, to pray for these missions. As our sign up here says, we're one with them. So I encourage you again to not just leave the prayer here, but through the rest of the week, through the rest of the time, share what God is doing. Pray for these people. And again, there's a table out front that has some information and ways that you help to remind us to pray for these people. So I thank you for taking this time this morning to lift these people up in prayer. Let us close in prayer, and then Tim will come and lead us in worship. Lord, we stand before an awesome God. We stand before a God who wants to hear our prayers, who waits as a father waits for his children. You stop the world to hear what we have to say, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we have this privilege, not on our own, but because of the blood of Jesus, that you loved us when we were unlovable, that you died for us because we're unworthy, and you did it all that we could come to you, that we could walk with you again, that we could pray with you again, just as we did in back in Genesis in the beginning. Lord, again, we ask you to honor the prayers that were spoken here this morning. Protect those that are on the mission field. Bless their families and bless their missions. Lord, we praise you. We give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our invitation time this morning. It's amazing what we can do when we pray, isn't it? It's amazing how God sees our prayers, and that's another thing I think we should be praying for. We all know so many people in our lives that we love dearly, that don't know who Jesus is, that need Jesus. And that's another thing we can be praying for, is the people that are right around us, that are close to us. And we don't want to go attend their funeral when we know that they didn't know who Jesus was. You know, time flies. You just get older and older and older, and you think there's always more time. Always more time to get the job done. But we need to pray for those in our family, those that are friends of ours, those we encounter, that they too find Jesus and are saved. Lord, is good. The Lord is good. And we all know how much he's done for us. And we all know how much he can do for those who are lost. I don't know if anybody out there this morning is lost. Does anybody not have a personal relationship with Jesus? But I pray if you are out there this morning and if you need Jesus, that we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you don't understand fully, we can help explain it to you. But you need Jesus. If you need Jesus this morning, come up as we sing a song of invitation. Please stand as we sing. There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, in the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won, he is risen from the dead, and I will I hear. you, Lord, and praise you for this time we had this morning, this special time of fellowship and prayer for all those we are dear to and close to, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord, for blessing this service. It's a good day to be in your house this morning, Lord, and we thank you that we can freely be here, Lord, because there's so many who can't. Lord, we take for granted the blessings that we have, Lord, in this country, and we ask that you protect them blessings, Lord, that those that be put into power will be those who fear the Lord. Lord, again, we thank you for everything you've given us. We love you for this time of harvest and this time of thanksgiving, Lord, and we thank you for all the blessings our family and our church family and our loved ones. And we ask, Lord, that you go before us as you say that you do, Lord. You do go before us, Lord, that we follow closely and that we hold on to your hand and that you lead us and keep us from temptation, Lord, and lead us on to righteousness. Bless our families and bless this church house. Bless this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless.